Translation. If one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra as described above, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. So what this verse is saying, it's not by birth, but it's by qualities, and also what qualities lead to activities. So one is designated according to the qualities they exhibit and the activities they perform, and not by janma or birth. Prabhupada's purport. Here it is clearly stated by Narada Muni that one should not be accepted as a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra according to birth. For though this is going on now, it is not accepted by the Shastras. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chatur Varnya Maya Sristam Guna Karma Vibhagasaha. Thus the four divisions of society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, are to be ascertained according to qualities and activities. If one is born in a Brahmin family and has acquired the Brahminical qualifications, he is to be accepted as a Brahmana. Otherwise, he should be considered a Brahma Bandhu. Similarly, if a Sudra acquires the qualities of a Brahmana, although he is born in a Sudra family, he is not a Sudra because he has developed the qualities of a Brahmana. He should be accepted as a Brahmana. The Krishna conscious movement is meant to develop these Brahminical qualities, regardless of the community in which one was born. If one develops the qualities of a Brahmana, he should be accepted as a Brahman, and then he may be offered the order of sannyas. Unless one is qualified in terms of the Brahminical symptoms, one cannot take sannyas. In designating a person a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, birth is not the essential symptom. This understanding is very important. Herein, Narada Muni distinctly says that one may be accepted according to the caste of his birth if he has the corresponding qualifications, but otherwise he should not. One who has attained the qualifications of a Brahmana, regardless of where he is born, should be accepted as a Brahmana. Similarly, if one has developed the qualities of a Sudra or a Chandala, regardless of where he is born, he should be accepted in terms of those symptoms. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 11th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Perfect Society for Social Classes. Humagyantamidandasya gyanajana salakaya chaksun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna pristaya bhutale shimakti bhakti vedanta swameti namine namaste saraswati deve gauravani pucharine nirvisesa sunyavari pastyatya dei satarine pancha kalpa turuvishcha Kriva Sindhu Vebhaja Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasiri Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare I think Prabhupada spoke on this topic so many times because it's being abused that one who is born in a family of Brahman automatically takes on the Upanaya or the thread and automatically considers himself a Brahmana. But here it's clearly said by the authorities, Sri Narada Muni is the author of the Pancharatriki system of deity worship, and which includes the designations of the different classifications. And he's giving us a clear understanding that actually everything is done by qualities. And Prabhupada was criticized for making people who were born in Western countries, not necessarily those who were born in, who are from the Indian culture and born in Western countries, but those who are of the Western culture, nature, body type, for giving them the situation of brahminical initiation. And Prabhupada was highly criticized, even by people who were fixed in spiritual life, because they said that they could never become a brahmana, because, look at the birth. So everything was designated by birth. But Prabhupada showed by training, and this is the most important thing, and one can develop according to that training. And the training is given according to one's particular nature. Therefore, the spiritual master is designated, or we might say selected, to observe the qualities of those that are following him and see what is their qualities and give training according to those qualities. And therefore, Prabhupada wanted this Vanashram College as a training system to not simply bring out Swadharma, one's material nature, but to engage that material nature in Krishna consciousness. And that is called a Daivi Vanashram, not material Vanashram. So when the Daivi comes in, the spiritual aspect, then one can be elevated to the qualifications of performing devotional service and can be trained in developing those qualities of a brahmana, which is saucham, truthfulness, satya, saucham, cleanliness, satyam, truthfulness, peacefulness, tolerance, pridelessness. Well, that's extra. Because if you're not tolerant, you can't be patient. Forgiveness. Well, that's very high quality, forgiveness. But then Brahma Karma Chabhava Jam, these are the qualities by which the Brahmins work. And is it knowing the scriptures, be able to teach the scriptures, simplicity, following religious principles. So this is what Prabhupada gave as his movement for training. Now sometimes, and I say sometimes in a very extended way, we give brahminical initiation quite easily without really seeing the qualities of the person, whether they have developed up to a certain standard. And sometimes we use this reason, well, we need a pujari. You've heard that? Yeah, it's kind of like all over, it echoes throughout the halls. Where's the next pujari? You look like you're ready. How long have you been initiated? Oh, 1 month? Well, you know, we can, you know, extend it a little bit. So, but Prabhupada, it's amazing, because there's a discussion between Prabhupada and some of his disciples in 1976. And the situation was, Prabhupada had just given second initiation to one young man, and right after that, he left. And so this one, Prabhupada was informed with that. He became really, you know, quite pensive about it. He was just thinking, this is not good. He said, now we must introduce this educational system. And then he explained that educational system to be the, you know, Bhakti Shastra, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma, the four levels of education, which means the complete study of Srila Prabhupada's books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Ishupanishads, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instructions. Complete. And one has to be certified through an educational forum in order to actually be considered to be qualified in having that, what we say, acumen or that knowledge. And that's what Prabhupada established. And then one devotee said, well, sometimes we give second initiation because we need a pujari. Prabhupada said, no. So it's like, it's not a new thing. They were doing that when Prabhupada was here too. So Prabhupada gave a quick and very strong no to that response. And he said, now we must introduce this educational system. So our movement is based on developing the qualities of the devotees which are conducive to the execution of devotional service, which are generally the qualities of the mode of goodness. We are not brahmanas, we are not kshatriyas, we are not vaishyas or sudras, we don't fall into any of the material designations, but people have certain inclinations according to their birth that can be developed through an educational system, and then people can be evaluated accordingly and engaged in service. And then they can do wonderful service when they're engaged according to the name. But training is required because the scriptures also say, Kalo Sudra Sambhavan. And in this age, because of the degradation of the age of Kali, people don't have good qualities. The samskaras are hardly followed. You know, garbhodan satskara, and then all of the first grains, the first going to school, the hair-cutting ceremony. That's rarely done, and it's becoming rarer and rarer. People think it's just a botheration or something that's old-fashioned. Now all we have to do is, you know, live life. Nai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. But it's not like that. So those of you who are, you know, coming forward for a second initiation, and Prabhupada said, Jadarani, one of the first ladies who joined the movement in 1967 in New York, she had a lot of association with Srila Prabhupada. And one time, and she used to ask him questions all the time. There's a recent book that was published by her describing her whole story with Prabhupada. It's an amazing book, if you can get a copy of it. She writes her memoirs, and it's about like this thick, about 800 pages. And then she asked a question to Srila Prabhupada, and this was back in 1968, I think, maybe a little later. She said, Prabhupada, is second initiation important? Because Prabhupada hadn't given so many second initiations in the early time. And Prabhupada said, as you go to school, you go to different levels of education, and they're known as grades. So you start with the lower grade, and then you move yourself up to the higher grade, and when you finish the grades, then you graduate. So, Prabhupada said, first initiation is like the lower grades, and second initiation is the higher grades. So one must, Prabhupada actually said, one must complete the education. In other words, one must take second initiation. He said that is the complete initiation. It's also called one of the samskaras, it's Upanaya samskara, where you receive the mantra from the spiritual master. That mantra is personal or private. It's known as the Gayatri Mantra. And that allows one to perform certain services, such as the deity worship and various other services connected with the service of the deity directly. And so one has to develop the qualities in order to perform these activities. And so we've seen many times that people, it's given quite easily. But when Prabhupada was there, when he realized that the second initiative, people are not taking it seriously, and he instituted that educational system. And it has become now a requirement. So essentially what I'm trying to say is that Brahminical initiation is not simply by getting a different service or additional service or just chanting the mantras. It's all about exhibiting the qualities of a Brahmana or a Vaishnava, actually, because a Vaishnava already has all of the qualities of a Brahmana and it's engaged in devotional service, where a Brahmana may have good qualities, but because they're not engaged in devotional service, as it's mentioned by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, they can't save even themselves. What to save, think of saving others. So devotional service of Vaishnav culture actually elevates the consciousness to the level of pure spiritual consciousness, and those qualities are conducive. The qualities of the modes of passion and ignorance. One of the qualities of the modes of passion is the desire to enjoy the results of the activity. It's called fruit of activity. Where in devotional service, it's not about me, it's about Krishna. It's about serving the spiritual master, serving the Vaishnava. So the motivation for service has to be selfless, and that is the quality of the mode of goodness. In other words, one should not be seeking personal gain from any particular activity in devotional service. That is tinged by the lower modes, especially the mode of passion. So, therefore, because sometimes we see people perform spiritual activities in order to get something from that. But we do get something. We get elevation to the spiritual platform. And that is the benefit, and not something material. So, unless we come to that consciousness that I'm serving the Lord for the pleasure of the Lord, and exhibiting those qualities that are conducive to execution of devotional service, as we mentioned. There's another scripture called the Sanat Sujata. In that Sanat Sujata scripture, it describes 12 qualities of the brahmanas. And other ones are also giving in charity and performing yajnas. Brahmins, or those who are brahminically initiated, have to learn the process of performing yajna. That's part of that, what we say, initiation or that activity. So in essence, what I'm trying to say is it's not about anything external. It's about developing those qualities that are conducive. So one should practice simplicity, knowing the scriptures, patam patan yajan yajan dana pratikaha. Knowing the scriptures, teaching the scriptures, worshipping the deity, teaching others how to worship the deity, and giving in charity and accepting charitable gifts. These are the characteristics of the activities of those who are of the brahminical qualities. So it's something that's very, very serious because, you know, sometimes people from the outside who have some understanding of spiritual life and those who are in maybe other spiritual groups, sometimes they see that our devotees are not really behaving properly or don't have the qualities that are conducive to, when we say, the execution of spiritual life. You know, that's such as humility, tolerance, pridelessness, because these are part of that, but as it's explained, cleanliness. What is cleanliness? Cleanliness is two qualities. Prabhupada said cleanliness and truthfulness are the two main qualities of a Brahmin. Prabhupada said, take bath three times a day. Thrice, he says. He said, when I came to your country, he was talking to his devotees in Los Angeles. I found out you take bath once a week. And sometimes you don't even have a shower. You have to go to your friend's house because some of the houses don't have showers. That's what Prabhupada, that was back in the 1960s anyway. So, you know, I don't want to speak about my personal history because you'll probably, it'll be the last class you'll listen to me. So it's like that. Those of us who grew up in Western countries, well, you know, it's like on Saturday night at the bath, oh my God, here it comes again once a week. Can you do it every other week? They give you a wash rag that's wet and they say, okay, finish up. So yeah, cleanliness. So it's at least twice a day. And of course, if you If you go to the latrine, evacuate, you have to take a shower immediately, no matter if you're doing rabbinical work or not. That is the standard of cleanliness. And then, of course, internal cleanliness is to purify the heart by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this quality of saucham, cleanliness, is one of the most glorious and most elevated qualities that is necessary for those, and all devotees, but especially for those who are brahminically initiated. Just like when you do deity worship, Prabhupada said, our temples have to be revolutionary clean. You try to understand what that word revolutionary means. That means something you've never seen before. That kind of standard of cleanliness that... I know one particular sannyasi in our movement. Wherever he goes to somebody's house and he'll go over the top of the door ledge and kind of move his hands like that and see if there's any dust there. And, I saw one devotee, he went to one place, they invited him. The place wasn't so clean. He came to preach for a few days, he saw the place, got back in his car and left. Didn't even stay. Just to make a point, and cleanliness is such a high principle, external cleanliness. And the whole material world is dirty. It's just a dirty place. So cleanliness is a constant feature of our spiritual activities, keeping things clean. When Prabhupada was in India, he was in Vrindavan, and the temple president was showing him the whole temple, and Prabhupada was just, because they had cleaned the temple really spotless, because they knew Prabhupada was coming, you know. So the devotees were all prepared, and Prabhupada would say, oh, very nice, very nice. And then, you know, Prabhupada said, it's the main duty of a temple president is to keep everything clean. He said that. Then they went up on the roof, and they had cleaned the roof, but somebody had swept the dirt in a corner. You know, in India, you had the roofs and then, you know, the walls. And Prabhupada said, what's this? Get it cleaned immediately. So, you know, a Vaishnav, they're very meticulous when it comes to saucham, that everything has to be, you know, so clean. And Prabhupada said, if you don't know how to clean, go home and your mother will teach you. So he made that point. So I'm emphasizing one of the many of the qualities of a brahmana. And of course, truthfulness means to actually speak according to shastra, according to guru, and be free from the tendency to sophistry. Sophistry means half truth, half, you know, something else like that. So these qualities are very important. We don't have time, but it would be good to list each of the qualities and describe what are their characteristics. But the point I want to make in preference for the upcoming initiation and for everyone in general, it's all about qualities. It's not about position or about having a thread or having a particular service. It's about qualities. Okay, so I think we have to conclude here because the time is a little short. Is there like one or two quick questions, one from the ladies and one from the men, before we end? Anyone? Yes. Okay. Oh, Hare Krishna. Nice to see you again. Then is cleanliness more important than tolerance? No. I don't think I don't think it's fair to compare and say one is important, more important than the other. That would minimize the other qualities. But Prabhupada did say that saucham and satyam are the two main qualities of the Brahman, which is cleanliness and truthfulness. But that doesn't minimize the importance of the other ones. I like that. So when it comes to qualities, I don't think we should compare them. Just to say one's better than the other. They're both important, obviously. Yes, Hari Karta Prabhu. Which demon?
The cart demon.
Oh, yeah. The cart demon. Sakadasura.
Yeah, so then Nanda Maharaj wanted to get the blessings of the Brahmins because he thought if he gets the blessings of the Brahmins, the child will be protected, Krishna will be protected. So in the purport, Prabhupada says that he wants to create a class of Brahmins to give their blessings to everybody, because if you get the blessings of the Brahmins, then your life is... okay.
Yeah. I mean, Lord Ramachandra also followed that very carefully. He would always seek the blessings of the brahmanas. He was in the role of playing the as a king, so he was playing the role of a kshatriya. But he showed by example, although he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how important it was to get the blessings of the brahmanas. And he did that every day in order before he would carry out his affairs of managing the state. Yeah. Thank you. Nice point. One question from the ladies' side? Yes, anyone? Yes, well, Hare Krishna.
You mentioned the samskaras.
Yeah.
You mentioned the samskaras that we're supposed to do, and one of them is the Upanayanam samskara, even for the children, and it's understood to be in order. You do the samskaras in order, and I've heard that the Upanayan samskara for boys is meant to be done before the age of 12 or 14. So is that a different kind of Upanayan than the one that you mentioned that...
Ananga, you want to answer that question?
Yeah, maybe.
Is he there? Is he? So, oh, you're there?
Should we pass it?
I can't see you. Sri Radha Raman, you here? You did a good job. Sri Radha Raman can answer that question easily. I'll be speculating on the answer. I'll just wait to what you say, and then I'll just say the same thing.
Just very briefly. So, I think the main difference is that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, when he saw that there is a urgency to be missionary in Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because previous to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the process of Krishna consciousness was being followed in very small groups and, as Prabhupada explains, majority in a sahajiya way. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta, they began the missionary spirit of spreading Krishna consciousness to fulfill Mahaprabhu's prediction. Now what Bhaktisiddhanta saw was that in society, individuals, by nature, respect Brahmins. They respect sannyasis. So Bhaktisiddhanta felt, whatever is necessary for us to be able to be respected in society, to preach the message of Mahaprabhu, we should do. So therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta gave himself sannyas, number one. Because in doing so, he would be able to preach Krishna consciousness. And similarly, whether he had disciples from Brahmin families or not, he felt that if you're a Vaishnava, you are completely equal. And therefore he gave the thread, for the first time in the history of India, he started giving the thread to people who were not born in Brahmin families, only because the priority is not actually the strict Varnashram Dharma. The priority is to preach Mahaprabhu's mission. And therefore, from that parampara, his disciples, the Gaudiya Math, and obviously Srila Prabhupada, he continued that tradition. That actually the donning of the sacred thread, the taking of sannyas, all the rituals, are only important as long as we can be missionary in our spirit to preach Krishna consciousness. So this is the difference between our philosophy and the very traditional Vedic philosophy. So this is why the sacred thread being given in the Pancharatrika system that we follow doesn't really matter how old you are. The main thing is that we should do whatever is necessary so that we can spread Mahaprabhu's movement and be leaders of society. So this is why there was a change in the process in the Gaudiya tradition. But traditionally, in the Vedic culture, the whole process of samskaras is very difficult. It's a bit like getting a PhD. You have to practice from a very young age Sanskrit, the scriptures, the Vedas. It requires a whole parampara of very qualified forefathers. And then in such a family, when there's a child born, then they can form the Upanayana before the age of 16. But that Upanayana is more educational. Mm. It is not missionary. And this is the very important thing that we have to understand. That whatever we do, kinkara, whatever we do is a servant of being able to preach Mahaprabhu's mission. That is why these ages are not relevant for us. Whether you are traditionally in Vaishnava, in Vedic culture, only Brahmins take sannyas as an example. Kshatriyas, Dasharatha, etc. never took sannyas. You never find any Kshatriyas taking sannyas. So all of these rules we only follow as long as they help us to preach Krishna consciousness as presented by Bhaktisiddhanta. Mm. And most importantly, he did not speculate. He also established these traditions based on the books of the Goswamis. So there's a whole philosophy behind it that we can't really explain in 5 minutes. But the main important part is whatever is necessary to preach Mahaprabhu's movement, we accept.
Yeah, that's transcendental to all of the, what we say, rules and regulations that are part of the rituals. Mm. Did that help you? It's recorded, so you can play it back. Thank you, Sri Radharaman. Yeah, that was quite historical, and it really gave a clear perspective of why we make the adjustments accordingly in order to preach. Yeah. And to be recognized in that category as preachers by society. Thank you. Okay, so thank you very much. We'll move on to the next part. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.